Arizona and the rest of the U.S. continue to deal with the effects of COVID-19 as concerns grow about the power of the Delta variant. The availability and effectiveness of vaccines make our current circumstances dramatically different from 16 months ago, though, which Andy Slavitt makes abundantly clear in his new book, Preventable, the inside story of how leadership failures, politics, and selfishness doomed the U.S. coronavirus response. Slavitt also until recently worked with the Biden administration as a senior advisor for COVID response. Andy, you write about the Trump administration's response extensively in the book. What was the biggest problem with that response? Dishonesty, incompetence, sending mixed messages?
I think the biggest problem was that Trump viewed COVID only as a reflection on how it affected him. And to him, it was an obstacle for the public's belief in his presidency, for his ability to get reelected, for the stock market, for, you know, whatever the narrative he wanted to put forward was. And so, you know, he tried a number of strategies, one of which was to deny the existence of the virus until it was too late, until his hand was forced, largely because the NBA called off its season and that helped send the stock market down. And, you know, he was sort of out of options. But even then, I think he tried to change the narrative as much as he could to say that this was no big deal. You know, the second, I think, part of that is if there was anybody in the administration that had a dissenting point of view, and remember, we're all just trying to learn about this pandemic, on the science side, he summarily silenced them or fired them. And you know, you can't really have a novel virus unless you've got an open atmosphere to try to learn and understand the facts. But he silenced he silenced the whole Department of Health and Human Services for 45 days for very simply wanting to say that things could change at any moment. So we had a pandemic without any communication to the public from our own Department of Health and Human Services.
Could this have been handled any worse, considering the size of the U.S. government and an administration? Was this, could you have envisioned any other president handling it like this?
Well, look, I don't think that this is a matter of a Republican handling it one way, the Democrat handling it the other way. I think a Mitt Romney or should I say John McCain, quite frankly, many of the Republican governors in the country would have, I think, put forward a much more competent response. And I think this was, I think, singularly kind of how a populist leader who had the kind of tendencies that Trump did handled it poorly. But there was it went beyond the Trump administration. And I think we'd make a mistake if we looked at it just that way. And in the book, I try to point out some of the other things that are, I think, maybe more an ingrained part of our society that went wrong. Some of it as simple as our inexperience dealing with global pandemics compared to other countries. Some of it is related to the fact that we have a very split society where we have, you know, half of us work hourly jobs, work with our hands, are forced to deal with the public, you know, and in the context of the pandemic, we're much more exposed to COVID. And another half could sit home and order, you know, Netflix and Amazon and be relatively safe and ride out the pandemic on their salaries. And that meant that we had to do much more work to have the kind of empathy for the people that were at risk than we had. And so those types of things, our views on science, you know, all those things come into question in the book.
If we're talking about where the U.S. is in terms of individuality and whatnot, it seems like we're hearing a lot of arguments from people at the ground level, not in government, saying, well, I don't feel like wearing a mask and I don't want to. Maybe I want to stay 6 feet apart, maybe I don't. And it was almost like that was an infringement on individual rights. How much did that complicate things, that there were people at the community level, many of whom did their best, but others were thinking, I really don't want to play a part in this at all?
I think a lot. You know, I think in an infectious disease, we have a very, we have a responsibility to one another that's different. And this is a particularly unusual virus in that because it spread asymptomatically, no one could be quite sure if they were spreading the virus or not, and if they were linking the chain of transmission. So in other countries, and indeed probably in other time periods in the U.S., you know, leaders were able to call on the individuals in the country and say, you know, look, we need to sacrifice for one another. We need to pull together. Even if you don't personally feel at risk, if you take a couple of quite modest steps, avoiding big crowds for a while, wearing a mask, we can save a lot of people's lives. We can reduce the toll. That ran here smack into a sentiment that said, as you said, this is the government tyrannically making an assault on my liberty. And, you know, I think a really important question and debate to have is, what do we owe our liberty to? You know, do we owe our liberty to a God-given right? Or is liberty something that's been hard fought and earned by prior generations in this country who did indeed pull together for a greater ideal and sacrificed quite a bit?
So jumping ahead to the Biden administration, you played obviously a significant role in helping with the rollout and what happened later. Does what has happened so far with the Biden administration, does that indicate an actual administration that was committed and competent, or did timing play a part in this too?
Well, I think the president ran on a couple of things. One was that he would take responsibility and accountability for defeating the this virus. It's not easy to manage a global pandemic, and no one ever said it was. And look, I think the country would have loved to just see President Trump try or say he was accountable rather than pushing away responsibility. People were attracted to someone who said, I'm going to do the work and be accountable. And I think what we've seen from President Biden so far is he hasn't been distracted by petty fights with governors or pointing fingers at other places. He's basically said, and he said to us, we've got to get this fixed. Every day we don't, more lives are lost. And there's nothing more important to people's lives and livelihoods than doing this. He's committed. He is empathetic. And, you know, the job has been to execute. So for people like myself and others in the administration, I would say our job is a whole lot easier. I don't envy people who worked for Trump, who, you know, I was put in charge to some degree of public communication. And the president said to me, and this is in the book, the president said to me, don't worry about making me look good. Just give the public the information they need. And that's a lot easier task than imagine having to go out in front of the cameras every day and try to please the president and flatter him while you're trying to tell the country the information you're trying to convey. It's just too difficult. So I think the president has come in with exactly the right approach. He's brought in exactly the right people. And you know, while none of this is easy, I see the progress that they're making as very hard earned. And he's trying to pull not just the government together, but the country together.
That is Andy Slavitt, former White House senior advisor to the COVID response, also author of the new book, Preventable, the inside story of how leadership failures, politics, and selfishness doomed the U.S. coronavirus response. Andy, thanks so much for the time today.
It was great to talk to you.